All right, well, good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. Welcome to those of you who are tuning in, watching online. I'd like to invite you to come be a part of our services at 9 or 10:30 if you live in DeSoto County, but we're glad that you're watching online. Well, we kicked off our new series last week called Generosity Rockstar. So you guys feel like a rock star? Woo! Some of you are like, I want to be a country star. That's fine, too. You can be a country star if that's what you like. No problem. But here's what we said last week is that you have been given a gift. If you are a follower of Christ, that God has empowered you with a gift to be a gift to other people. That God wants you to use these gifts in order to serve other people and do things that God has called you specifically to do. Not just those around you, but you specifically. And as a pastor, I get to hear a lot of people's stories. And I hear people's stories, and as I listen to their stories, those who are growing and maturing and feel like they're growing in Christ and feel like that their relationship with Jesus is in a good place and things are happening, almost always, without exception really, there is one common thing that all of those people have. And it's this one thing that at some point in their life, and perhaps even right now, at some point in their life, they felt a call or a burden, or they just felt like they needed to do something to serve other people in a sometimes a really specific way. And despite the fact that they didn't feel prepared, despite the fact that they didn't feel equipped, or despite the fact that they weren't like, didn't know the Bible very well, even some of them would say, like, I didn't know the Bible. They couldn't ignore this sense that God is telling them to do something. And they took the step and they did it. And without exception, every single one of them says, man, I saw God do things that I never expected him to do. I grew so much more than when I wasn't doing what they had been called to do. And this morning, that's what we're going to land on, is that we're going to talk about the idea of serving and that we need to be people who serve other people. Now, if you're a guest this morning, I just want to tell you, we are glad that you are here. We are excited that you're with us. And today, what you're going to experience is a little bit of behind the scenes of how we talk about what we do as a church. And so we're glad that you're here, and we're going to talk about ways that we get to serve you as being our guest this morning. So the idea of service. Now, the entire New Testament, and really the entire Bible, has at the forefront of it this idea that we have been called to serve other people, to love God, and to demonstrate that by how we serve others. That we haven't just been called to be spectators and to be those who just sort of sit in the bleachers or on the benches, if you will, and to celebrate what everybody else is doing, but that there are no benches in God's kingdom. There's no second string. There's all of God's people doing what God has called them to do. And service is sacrifice. And I understand that. And a definition of sacrifice that we use around here a lot is sacrifice is giving up something that I love for something or someone that I love more. So sacrifice is never easy. If it were easy, it wouldn't be sacrifice. And serving is not always easy because it requires sacrifice on my part, that I'm going to have to give up something. Perhaps it's my time, my comfort zone, whatever it is. I'm going to have to give it up because there's something here that I love more that I want to see happen in someone else's life or even in my own life. And the last sort of caveat before we jump into the bottom line here, the big idea for today is for this week and next week, I don't want you to hear, oh, Brian's just telling us that just so we can do what he needs us to do in the church. Because here's what I believe, and here's what I want you to understand is, I don't want something from you at all. I want something for you, though. And I think the only way that you are ultimately going to see God work in ways that you maybe have never dreamed possible in your life is when you do something to serve other people with your life. And look, if there was another way that I could help you grow as a Christ follower and help you come to maturity as a Christ follower and help you experience God in ways that you never dreamed possible as a Christ follower, if there was another way besides what we're going to talk about today, I would tell it to you. But look, I can't find it in the Bible. The only way I see for you to come to the level of following Christ to the maximum, if you will, is to say you've got to take a step and do something, and not just be a spectator. You've got to take a step out and serve. So what is serving? Here's our big idea for today. Serving is doing what I can do and trusting Jesus to do what only he can do. And so this morning, look, as we talk about serving, no one is asking you to do something that you can't do. And we're going to talk about exactly what you can do here in a few minutes. But look, if you can't sing, I am not asking you to volunteer for the praise team. In fact, please don't. If you can't love kids, genuinely love kids, then maybe the children's ministry is not the best place for you. And that's okay. But there's something you can do. And you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. For the past few months, my wife has been teaching our oldest child, Thatcher, who's 15. She's been teaching him how to cook. And it's been a good experience. Nobody's died yet from food poisoning or anything like that. So what she does is she writes out the recipe for him. And then she says, okay, I want you to do what you can. And so he looks at the recipe, he reads it, and then he can. He can chop vegetables. He can gather all the supplies together. He can get all the spices out of the cabinet. He can put the pan on top of the stove, and he can turn it on, and he can put oil in it, and he can even saute some stuff. And he's gotten really good where he's starting to put whole meals together. But when he first started, Shay would tell him, look, do what you can, and then I will help you and do what I can. And so that's the way it worked. And so Thatcher would do everything he could do, and then Shay would come along, and she would do what only she can do in our house, and that's make it taste good and make it edible. Now, like I said, he's gotten to the point now where he can begin to do that on his own. But when he first started, she had to come along and do what only she could do. But he did what he could do. He trusted her to do what only she could do. And that's what God's calling on you this morning, I think, is God is telling you, look, there are things that you can do, and you can trust me as your loving heavenly Father to do what only I can do. And that's all serving is, doing what you can do and trusting Jesus to do what only he can do. So here's the question then, what can I do? What exactly is it that I can do? And the Bible gives us three very clear principles of things that you and I can do and trust Jesus to do what only he can do. And the first one is this, is that I can use my gift. I told you last week, if you are a follower of Christ, you have been given a gift to be a gift. God has put something in you, empowered you by his Spirit in order to do something, be something that he needs you to do in order to serve the people that are around you. And look, God has done it in a way where it's only going to happen in a unique way in your life. A person over here that God has empowered and given a gift will not serve the same way as somebody over here because it's unique individuals. God has empowered every single one of you and given every single one of you. If you are a follower of Christ, he has given you a gift to be a gift to other people, and you can use that gift. In the book of 1 Peter is trying to get the people, he's trying to encourage them and inspire them because they're going through some difficulty. They've been scattered about, and he wants them to understand how they are to live together as God's people and how they are to live together as the church. And he gives them some encouragement in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8. We're going to look at it. It'll be on the screen. When we hit the words in yellow, I'm going to need you guys to help me out by reading it with me, okay? So chapter 4, verse 8 says this, most important of all. Anytime the Bible says most important of all, we should pay attention. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Skip down to verse 10. How do we do that? How do we show love to one another? God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to what? Serve one another. And so the Apostle Peter says, look, you've been given a gift. Use it to serve. Use it to be a gift. And here is our motivation. It's that we love each other. And that's an important motivation because that changes why we do the things we do. Because love is a powerful motivator to serve and to be in other people's lives. And the thing about love that I have to understand is that love has a constancy to it that even sticks when things are hard. So when we talk about, man, you got to sacrifice to serve, it's going to take love, because love doesn't run when things are difficult. If love runs when things are hard, if somebody says, I love you, but the moment things get difficult, the moment a friendship has a little bit of attention to it, they say, nope, I don't want anything else to do with you. I want nothing more to do with you. My friends, they never loved you in the first place. They only loved themselves. Because love sticks when things are hard. Love doesn't run. It has a constancy to it. And the other thing about love is love takes action. Love does, as some have said. You think about the life of Jesus. Jesus didn't just come along and say, I love you, be well, be fed, see you later. He served, he did things. He told the apostles and the disciples, look, I love you. And then he took the next step, and on the night before he was to be arrested, he took those men and he gathered them together in a room, and he took their dirty, muddy, stinky feet and got down on his hands and knees and washed them. Why? Because he loved them. Because love does. Love takes action. And you can use your gift to serve other people, to love other people. And there are going to be moments where it's hard, because look, it's hard to love other people. We're all difficult to love at moments, at times, right? We're all tough to love. But love sticks even when it's hard. And you can use the gift that God has put into your life to serve other people. And that's exactly what the Apostle Peter is telling you to do here. Now, the thing about gifts to understand is that they're not talents. You might have a talent of being able to draw or write or be creative, or you might be like those who were just up here on the praise team. Man, aren't they amazing? They sound awesome. But you might have the gift of being able to play guitar, sing, maybe even play bass, since we have to have bass players. That's a joke between me and the bass player. Or play drums, or whatever it is. And those are talents that they have. But see, they use those talents to exercise their gifts. Some of them have the gift of teaching. Some of them have the gift of serving. Some of them have the gift of hospitality. And man, that's what they do. They are hospitable. They are creating a great environment for us to come into. So you might have a talent. We have another gentleman in our church who is talented at woodworking and building things. And all of these things that are always behind me, these sets and stuff, all of this stuff, he builds those because he has a talent to do that. Now, that's not his gift. His gift is serving. But the way he exercises his gift is through his talent. So you might have a talent. God might have given you the talent of being able to write, sing, play guitar, music, be a craftsman, whatever it may be. But you also have a gift to use, and you can be a gift. So the question is, what happens if you don't use your gift? Do you have a gift in your house that you only get out when the person who gave it to you comes over? Maybe your mother-in-law gave you a lamp, and it stays in your closet unless she's coming over. And then there was that one time where you forgot to get it out, and she walked in and she said, where's the lamp? Oh, it's at the electrician's getting service. You know, something happened to it. I don't know. It's in the closet. And what happens to the relationship when they find out, man, that gift, you just get it out when I'm around. You don't do anything else with it. Well, there's tension, right? The relationship is not as good as it could be. I don't think there's any different with Jesus. He has given you something to use to serve him and to serve other people. And when Jesus comes, he's going to say, where's that gift of service, or that gift of mercy, or that gift of administration or teaching or so many other gifts that we could name? Where is that? And there's going to be some tension, I think. Because look, God wants this for you. Because what happens if we just all we do is absorb, 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 absorb? I think God gives us a clear picture. Not in the Bible, but I think in creation. I think it's just like God to put in the middle of the area where Jesus did his ministry a body of water called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, it has a lot of tributaries to it. A lot of things contribute to its water. But it feeds nothing. Everything that goes into it eventually dies because it cannot sustain life. I have a picture of it here. You can see all this white part. That's just all like salt deposits and mineral deposits. No fish, no plants live in the Dead Sea. It is barren, nothing. Nothing except microscopic organisms can live there. It offers no life to anything or anyone. And I think it's a picture. God uses it in creation as a picture of, look, this is what can happen to your life if all you ever do is just absorb. If you never serve and are an outlet of life and love to other people. If all I ever do is come on Sundays and sit and listen and be here and then go about my business and do my own thing only to return next Sunday and not do anything in between, my life is going to end up looking like the Dead Sea. That's just the way it's going to be. And I think God is telling you, look, I want you to give life and I want you to have life. I want something for you. And it's not just to sit and be a pew warmer, but it's to be a servant, to love other people, to love me, and to demonstrate that by how you love others. And you can do something, and you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. And you can use your gift. The second principle the Bible gives us is that I can persevere. Serving is hard. That's why it's called sacrifice. And look, like I told you before, if sacrifice wasn't hard, it wouldn't be called sacrifice. But we are going to sacrifice to serve, and God is going to call us into a place of sacrifice. He's going to say, look, there's some things that you can do, and you're going to have to give something up. You might have to give up your time, your comfort. But there's something you can do, and you can trust me to do what only I can do. So are you willing to give up something you love for something you love more? In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul gives us a powerful verse. And what he's trying to do in the book of Galatians is, again, just like 1 Peter, he is trying to encourage everyone to not get tired because they are going through a season in life that is difficult. And he is telling them, look, there's going to be difficult seasons. There's going to be difficult moments, but don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't give in. And he writes some powerful words in Galatians 6:9. He says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a what? A harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So here's the picture that we're getting from the Bible here. Think of a farmer sowing seed. He puts that seed out in planting season. And then he begins to work that ground. Well, first he's already worked that ground to get it ready for the seed. And then he puts that seed and then he begins to work that ground. Have you ever seen a farmer's hands? I've got a picture here just to give you a picture of what it can look like. A farmer's hands, a lot of times they're dirty, they're calloused. Sometimes their fingers are permanently bent from all the years of hard work and pulling weeds and working the ground. And a lot of times if you'll see older farmers, you'll see sometimes their shoulders are hunched over from the years of just being on their knees and digging around in the dirt. It's hard work being a farmer. But I've never heard a farmer say, man, it's a sacrifice. Because it is a sacrifice to be a farmer. They give up something that they love. Perhaps they give up comfort. They give up rest because they go to bed late, have to get up extremely early. They give up what they love for something they love more, which most of the time is providing for their family, putting food on the table and a home for their wife and their children. But you see, they gladly do that work. They gladly give up those things. They gladly sacrifice what they love for something they love more. And they don't quit because they know harvest is coming. It might be difficult, but harvest is coming. They might not want to look at another piece of dirt, but harvest is coming. They might not want to pull another weed, but they have to because harvest is coming. And that's the picture the apostle gives here, that the harvest is coming if you don't give up, if you don't quit. You and I can persevere. We can do what we can do, and then we can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. And here's the thing about God. He does not tell you what season you are in. He doesn't tell you, oh, just wait another week and the harvest will come. Just give it another week. When you go to God and say, God, this is hard, and I don't know how much longer I can do this. God says, all I want you to do is trust me with the next minute. Trust me with the next step. Trust me with the next day. I can do what I can do, and you can trust that God will do what only he can do. So you might be in the season of life where, man, you are dry. It's like the summer season. The sun is beating down on you, and you feel like you're dry, and there's no rain, and you're cracked, and you're withering, and life is hard, and life is difficult, and you just can't make it another step. God says, all you've got to do is what you can do, which is take the next step and then trust that I will do what only I can do in your life. The harvest is coming. God, when is it going to come? At the right time. When does God bring the harvest? At the right time. Whenever God brings the harvest, that's when it is the right time for you and for me. It's not up to me to say, God, it's time for the harvest. No, it's up to me to say, God, I trust you to do what only you can do, and I will work. I will take the next step because I can trust you with that. I will take another step because I can trust you with that. I can do what I can do, and I will trust you to do what only you can do, and the harvest will come even though I'm in the summer season. You might not know what season you're in. Maybe you're in the rain season and you're flooded and your life is flooded and you are overflowing and you're up to the point of your neck and you're like, God, I'm barely holding my head above water. And now I've got to serve. I got to do something else. I can't do this. I can't hold it anymore. I can't go anymore. God, something's got to give. Something's got to go. God says, look, don't you quit. You don't know what season you're in. It is just a season. And the harvest is coming. When is the harvest coming? At just the right time. Because when God shows up, it's never late. It's never early. It's just the right time. Amen? So don't quit. My friends, oh my goodness, I've seen so many. My heart is broken for them. And because right when it gets hard, they walk away and they miss the harvest. And somebody else gets to collect the harvest that they built. Don't you quit. Don't you let Satan come to you and say, you don't have time for that. Just give it up. Don't you listen to him. You tell him, look, God says he's going to give me a harvest at just the right time. I'm going to persevere. I can do that. I can stick with it. Man, it's hard. I'm tired. I feel like I can't even get out of bed today. That's all I can do. I can get out of bed and I can trust Jesus to do what he can do. That I can do. I can persevere. My friends, you can persevere. You can make it. If you remember the harvest, and if you trust your Father, that he is good. The third thing I can do, the third principle that I want to share with you, is that I can respond to God's call. I can do that. Like I said, God's given you a gift to be a gift. And I believe with all my heart, he is calling every single one of you to do something, to love other people, to serve other people with your life. In a way that only you can do it. And you can respond to God's call this morning. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, Joshua is the man who takes over for Moses after Moses dies. He's a powerful servant of God. We're going to look at his story a little bit more detail, not next week, but the week after. But he comes down to the end of his book, and he is talking to the entire nation of Israel. And he is sharing with them what God has put on his heart. And they have gone into the promised land. The book of Joshua is the story of how they've gone into the land. Joshua led them across the Jordan, and they fought these battles and lost some, won them, and saw the land come into their possession. And now Joshua is challenging the people. And he has a very powerful statement for them in Joshua 24, verse 15. Let's look at it together. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I want you to notice something that's very important here. Joshua says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. I want you to notice what's important. He doesn't say if you will serve. He says who. And what Joshua is teaching us here is that when I say no to serving God, I am saying yes to serving something else. I don't have the choice of if I will serve something or someone. I do have the choice of who it will be. And so do you. You don't have the choice of if you will serve something, but you do have the choice of who it will be. So who are you going to serve? Are you going to respond? Because look, if you say no to God, you're going to say yes. That is essentially saying yes to something else. And it's a choice today. My friends, this is not something you need to go home and pray about, think about, talk to your spouse about. It's a choice today. Choose today whom you will serve. So let's talk about a few reasons that we don't serve. The number one reason, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the one all of us on staff and other volunteers who ask other people to serve, the one we hear more often than any other is, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. What we're learning here from Joshua is this. What I do with my time is an indicator of who I have chosen to serve. Because I'm going to serve someone. I'm going to give something or someone my time. The question is, who is it going to be? So, Lord, I don't have time to answer your call, but I do have time to answer that call. I don't have time to give to that ministry, but I do have time over here. You see, what we choose what we do with our time. We choose who we will serve with our time. And at some level, I've got to take personal responsibility for how mature of a Christ follower I am. And if I'm not at the level I want to be, one of the first places I've got to look is, where am I spending the majority of my time? Am I serving the Lord? Because there's a difference. Look, Jesus doesn't want you to be a fan of his. He wants you to be a servant. And there's a major difference. Jesus doesn't want you to be a fan. Look, I am a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Being a fan, I will choose whether I watch them tomorrow night or not. They better shape up or I'm not choosing to watch them ever again. But I will choose. But when someone is my Lord, I don't get to choose. I do what they say. I obey. And you listen, the Bible says when we come to the end and we get to stand face to face with Jesus, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful, not a fan. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful, fan of mine. I'm glad you were at church and you raised the J-E-S-U-S banner. Woo-hoo. But what did you do? Well done, good and faithful. What's he going to say? Servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You listened and followed. Another reason that those who choose not to serve, and this mainly goes to the elders, you know, and I want to encourage you here for a minute. I hear a lot, just let the young people do that. I don't want to do that anymore. I did my time. My friends, as your pastor, I don't want you to spend the last years, decades, whatever God has for you. I don't want you to walk from here into the presence of Jesus saying, look, I did my time when I was younger. I let the other people handle it. And this goes to the other side as well. Students, where are my students? They're everywhere. This goes for you as well. God is not interested in waiting until you grow up a little bit. He wants you to serve today. Choose today who you will serve. There are things you can do as well, and you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. You don't have to wait until you're out of high school. You can do it in high school. We want you to do it in high school, in middle school. You can be a part of making a difference. There are no benches in God's kingdom. Everybody is involved. A couple of stories I want to remind you of. In the Bible, you think about a guy like Moses. Moses, when God called him, was a farmer running from being a murderer. And he comes to the Red Sea, And he's got this body of water in front of him and the most powerful army in the world behind him, ready to destroy the nation. And he looks at God and he said, God, what can I do about this? And God's response is amazing. He says, Moses, take a couple steps out into the water and hold up your staff. Moses, I can do that. So he does that. He takes those steps and he holds up that staff. And the Bible says that all night God brought an east wind and made that ground dry so they could walk across. Look, Moses couldn't part the Red Sea, but he could hold up a staff and he could trust God to do what only God could do. You can too. You can hold a door open, I hope. You can smile, I hope. And you can shake someone's hand and say good morning. And you could be a greeter. And then you can trust God to do what only he can do. I think about the Apostle Peter, the guy whose words we just read a few moments ago. He's in a boat at night in the dark, and a storm is tossing waves all about. And they're terrified, and then they see Jesus walking on water. They think he's a ghost. And Jesus says, calm down, it's just me. And Peter shouts out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. Now here's a moment. You see, Peter had been a fisherman his whole life. He knew how to get in and out of a boat. He can do that. He didn't know how to walk on water. He's got to trust Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. And he puts that foot. Imagine, I wonder if he tested it first, sort of kicked at it. Like, is this going to work? And then said, hey, John, hold my hand just in case. And then put his other foot and he stood on that water. He knew how to get out of a boat. But he had to trust Jesus to get him to walk on water. My friends, you can do what you can do, and you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. And that is your step for this week, that I will do what I can do and trust Jesus to do what only he can do. This morning, all of us in this room are benefiting because someone in our church already said, yes, I will do what I can do, and I will trust Jesus to do what only he can do. I will keep children. Because I can do that. I can smile. I can hug kids. I can love them. I can smile and say good morning to their parents. And I can keep them safe. And I can teach them the Bible. Because that's all happening back here in the kids club. All they did, none of them will say, yeah, I'm a Bible scholar. I'm smart. I know it everything. I know, like, let me at those middle schoolers. I've got answers for them. If you come and say that, we will say, that's not for you. But listen, you can do what you can do, and God can do what he can do. I don't want Heartland, my heart for our church, is that it not be limited to what I can do, what Pastor Chris can do, what Pastor Jeff, Pastor Caleb, any of the other staff can do. I don't want it to be limited to just us. Because look, I'm gonna tell you, if it's limited to just us, it is extremely limited. But I believe with all of my heart that if all of us together will say, look, I can do what I can do, and I will trust Jesus to do what only he can do, there is no limit to what God can do through us. Amen? Let's try it one more time. There is no limit to what God can do through us when we all say, I will do what I can do. Amen? Amen. Amen. God wants to do something in your life, through your life, in a way that you've never dreamed possible. And what he asks you to do is to say, I can do that, and I can trust Jesus to do the rest. And you see, I don't know what God might be telling you to do. Maybe he's telling you to work with children or to work with students. Maybe he's telling you you can greet on Sunday mornings. Maybe he's telling you, look, you can be a part of the safe team that keeps us all safe here on Sunday mornings. Or maybe you can play guitar or sing or work in the tech booth. There's all kinds of things you can do. Maybe you can be a leader of a missional community, because what you can do is host people, you can talk to people, and you can open the Bible. Even if you don't know everything it says, you can open it and read it. You can do that, and then you can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. But there's another group of people I think there is. This is what's happening right now, is God has put something on your heart that maybe perhaps isn't even in existence in our church yet, a ministry or a way to serve others. And he's put it on your heart. Let me tell you what I can do. I can come alongside you and help you. And the church can come alongside you and help you. Realize that dream that God has put on your heart. Because look, I believe with all my heart, when we all do what we can do and trust Jesus, do what only he can do, nothing can hold us back. And if God has put something on your heart, it's time for you to take the step and say, I will do it. I will let someone know, this is what God is telling me to do. And I will take that step. And may we all come to the place where we experience God working and moving through us simply because we said, I can do what I can do. And I can trust Jesus to do what only he can do. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. And God, I pray this message would be helpful to those who need help in this area. God, I pray that you would put dreams in our hearts of things you want to do through us. And God, I pray we would all say yes to what you want to see happen in our lives. God, don't let any excuses or the lies of Satan hold us back from your best. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.